Gamar Joba Vienna, this is Spielpod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our temporary studio overlooking the lovely and sonorous Rathaus. Today is Thursday, the 13th of June, 2013. On this date, in 313, the Edict of Milan, signed by Constantine the Great, grants religious freedom throughout the Roman Empire. It's posted in Nicomedea. In 1373, the Anglo-Portuguese alliance is signed between England and Portugal, the oldest alliance in the world that is still in force. 1381, Wat Tyler's peasant mob marches on London and wreaks all sorts of productive havoc before it is crushed when Wat is stabbed. That's a very interesting chapter in British history. Check it out. 1777, the Marquis de Lafayette lands near Charleston, South Carolina to help the Continental Congress train its army. 1807, Thomas Jefferson is subpoenaed in Aaron Burr's treason trial. 1955, the first diamonds are discovered in the USSR, leading to the Mir mine. 1966, the Miranda rights are established in the United States by the Supreme Court. 1967, Thurgood Marshall is appointed to the Supreme Court by Lyndon Johnson. 1971, the Pentagon Papers, quite topical for today, considering events related to the National Security Council. Pentagon Papers are published in the New York Times. 1983, Pioneer 10 becomes the first man-made object to leave the central solar system. Birthdays today are 1865, poet William Butler Yeats, 1875, Texas Governor Miriam Ferguson, 1892, actor Basil Rathbone, 1926, Hollywood Squares center Paul Lind, 1935, artist Christo, born in Bulgaria, by the way, 1943, actor Malcolm McDowell, 1944, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. And Alexander the Great died on this date in 323 BC. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. This past week I have met several people who have said to me, why don't you publicize Spielpod.com more? I wish I knew about this years ago. So listen, listeners, go to your buddies at Spielpod.com, meaning me and others, and your friends a favor and let them know. Please send out this link to three friends who know and care about Georgia. Tell them it's worth listening to. Thanks again for those posting on our forum. Some info on how agricultural loans are referred to the still quite conservative banks from Simon, as well as some lengthy commentary about the current justice minister from Anuki. To comment or ask us for an opinion or follow a topic, go to Spielpod.com or in the forum there, or if you're shy, send an email to Spielpod@gmail.com. My Georgian journal and Fides Politra column this week is about the orientation of Georgia as portrayed by experts. I just, you know, for the 47th time, sat in a cab and listened to some talk show with somebody, I think most recently Nino Bourgenadze, talking about Georgia's orientation and Western and Northern. And I don't know, it was just so incredibly unimportant and how everybody would be better served if we paid attention to more practical matters. So, on the 6th of June, seven Georgian servicemen were killed and nine wounded after a truck bomb hit one of the bases in Helmand province of Afghanistan. The attack had the largest death toll for Georgian troops of any single incident since the mission began in November 2009. Three Georgian troops died in a similar incident on the 13th of May, 2013, when an explosives-laden truck hit their outpost, also in Helmand. Recent attacks bring the total death toll of Georgian soldiers in the ISAF mission to 29. Misha declared the 7th of June a day of mourning. State flags were lowered across Georgia. On the same day of the attack, a video entitled Taliban Jihad Against Georgian Troops in Afghanistan was released on YouTube. The video declares a jihad against the Georgian armed forces in Afghanistan and claimed that they would take revenge for the Crusaders' activities in Georgia. The video shows Georgian soldiers injured and killed in Afghanistan, while the commentator says that the same fate awaits all Georgian crusaders. On the 11th of June, a National Security Council meeting was held in the president's residence in Tbilisi to discuss the video. Interior Minister Irakli Kharabashvili said that the clip had nothing to do with the Taliban and was uploaded from Georgia. He added that an investigation is still underway. The NSC also discussed Georgian participation in Afghanistan. Defense Minister Irakli Alassania said that Georgia will continue the mission until 2014 as planned, but added that some, quote, corrections, end quote, pertaining to the deployment locations may occur. Prime Minister Bidzina Ivanishvili did not attend the meeting and noted that the agenda did not interest him. Former President Edward Shevardnadze stated that the Georgian military has nothing to do in Afghanistan and called for withdrawal of Georgian forces. On the 11th of June, the press agency Iveroni wrote that a supporter of UNM, Georgi Khmelidze, was summoned in for questioning because of his status on Facebook, in which he states that the video Taliban jihad against Georgian troops in Afghanistan was made in Bera's studio. It was a repost. He was pulled in. It was a little ridiculous, actually. On the 12th of June, Alassania stated that two of Georgia's military deployment groups were closed in Afghanistan, and the contingent moved to a new deployment location. The Education, Science, and Culture Committee discussed amendments to the law on higher education, which would grant BI the power to appoint rectors of state universities. This really, frankly, pretty much ends the, at least on paper, the autonomy of universities. Also, not such a positive step. PhD students will no longer be allowed to be assistant professors. UNM MPs didn't support the amendments and voted against it, but because of the support of the Georgian Dream, the issue will be discussed at the plenary meeting. Parliamentary Chairman Dato Usupashvili reportedly left the room during the vote. The following abstained: Eliso Chapidze, Levan Berdzenashvili, Dato Berdzenashvili, Vahdan Khmaladze, Geri Popkhadze, Dato Onofrashvili, Irakli Chikovani, Victor Dolidze, Nino Goguadze, Ani Mirotadze, and Tamar Kodzaya. Misha negatively assessed the planned amendments to the law. He said, quote, "One of the main achievements of the new system was the university's independence, free competition, and increase of quality in universities, creation of new standards to increase the quality of Georgian students. If we receive changes to the form, Georgia will be back 10, 15, 20 years like it was in the 90s. This is a restoration of a Soviet and post-Soviet corrupt system in the 21st century," end quote. The U.S. ambassador in Georgia, Richard Norland, commented on the amendment, saying that there is a chance that academic freedom will be lost if the Georgian parliament passed the amendments. Excellent that the U.S. embassy commented on this, and they really are not such a good thing. Rector Sandro Kvitashvili resigned yesterday on the 12th of June. According to the new higher education law, the rector should have a PhD, which Kvitashvili doesn't. He said, quote, "I think that the new amendment to the law is a big interference in the university's autonomy. However, this is a new policy of the country, and I am obedient to the law. A new election for this post will be held on the 12th of August." The idea is that the current group can reappoint somebody that, or can appoint somebody to be the rector that will have a PhD. You know, this is a little ridiculous because, I mean, in the end, one way or another, under Misha, there was control by the government of Tbilisi State University, at least, and some of the other state universities. Making that control overt is in no way a positive step, and it's really pretty bold in an unhealthy way that the government is trying to do this. The best thing that could happen was for this thing to be slowed way down. I mean, that said, I'm not sure. The universities are better now than they were before. Interestingly, the person who presided over the destruction of Tbilisi State University, Rowan Metrovelli, the former rector, is just floating around. He never really went to jail, or if he did go to jail, he was, you know, I'm saying with air quotes, plea bargained out quite early on when the national movement took over. But I've seen him walking around Tbilisi. It would be interesting if a journalist were to track him down and talk to him about what's going on. I've not seen him in the media at all. And certainly he was just incredibly corrupt during the 90s with how that university was run. On the 7th of June, Friday, prayers were disrupted by locals in the village of Samtatskaro in Kakheti. About 200 locals gathered in order to prevent Muslims from praying in a house that had been purchased by the administration of Muslims of All Georgia for precisely this use. The Muslims canceled Friday prayers in order to avoid tension. The house has no outward signs of being a mosque and was meant for Friday prayers, but the local population opposes this. The same day, public defender Uchananuashvili appealed to the interior minister to take measures in this village so that every Friday the prayers will be conducted in peace. and religious confrontation is avoided. According to the public defender, Muslims in Samtatskharo are eco-migrants from the Ajada region on the Black Sea shores who were resettled to the village in 1978. They have been able to conduct religious rituals without any problems, but didn't have a place to pray. This is completely outrageous, and the Interior Ministry needs to deal with this pronto, in my view. On the 6th of June, Deputy Foreign Minister of Affairs Grigory Karasin told Russian media that Moscow demands Georgia abolish the law on occupied territories, which carries a criminal charge against those who enter South Ossetia or Abkhazia from non-Georgian territory. They had been partly decriminalized in April. Karasin made this comment after meeting with BI's special representative to Russia, Zurab Ashidze. Karasin stated that Russia continues to work with Georgia on facilitating the visa regime for Georgians. Abashidze stated that Karasin had confirmed that Russia will study the recent developments pertaining to South Ossetia's moving the administrative border 300 meters into Georgian territory, which was done by Russian soldiers, at least according to the people that I talked to who went out there. This subject will be discussed in international talks in Geneva in late June. On the 11th of June, Russian President Vladimir Putin, in an interview with Russia Today TV station, said that Russia will continue cooperating with Georgia to import products, and he welcomes improving ties with Georgia. Putin stated that he plans to fully restore relations with Georgia, though he doesn't intend to reverse the decision on recognizing Abkhazia and South Ossetia. He assessed the government of Georgia didn't have enough wisdom to regulate relations with Abkhazia and South Ossetia as a single country. Putin doesn't rule out abolishing visa requirements for Georgians to enter Russia. He said that cooperation between special services and law enforcement would be the first step in restoring the visa regime. Putin also stated that Russia is ready to receive help from Georgia in providing security for the Sochi Olympics. BI commented on the destruction of video footage of private lives of citizens, which the Ministry of Internal Affairs has kept in their archives. According to the Prime Minister, some opponents, experts, and professionals object to the destruction of the footage. I haven't heard any of those opponents, experts, or professionals, but okay. BI said, quote, "We may find a method. For example, we may store these materials like money is kept in banks or something like that. A few organizations may have access to them, etc. We should do everything to avoid shame. Footage showing personal life should never be spread in Georgia again," end quote. TI responded to BI's statement by urging the government to initiate efficient measures for destroying the video's archives, as well as planning preventative measures to ensure this doesn't happen again. These would include effective investigations to deter third-party abuses of unlawfully recorded video footage in the future. Yeah, BI, like, going back on this deal is really terrible. The stuff needs to be destroyed. And then if it ever shows up again, it needs to be, somebody needs to have responsibility, get punished for that, whether or not they were the ones who leaked it or not. On the 7th of June, Australia expressed concerns about Russia's offering of aid to Pacific Island nations in exchange for diplomatic recognition of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Two island states in the Pacific have recognized Abkhazia on the promise of funding, while Vanuatu, in part, thanks to the work of the hardest-working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, working with its colleagues in the TI chapter in Vanuatu, has recently withdrawn its recognition. On the 9th of June, the Conference of Judges, a self-governing body of the judiciary, gathered to elect from within its ranks seven members for a four-year term on the High Council of Justice. After two stages of voting, Zaza Meishvili, Merab Gabinashvili, Shota Getsadze, Tamar Alania, Ilona Todua, Pata Silagadze, and Levan Maisuradze became the new members of the High Council of Justice. The council is in charge of overseeing the judicial system and has the authority to appoint or dismiss judges, as well as to initiate disciplinary proceedings against them. The composition of the new 15-member High Council of Justice will be completed after the parliament elects six non-judge members from candidates nominated by legal advocacy NGOs, Georgian Bar Association, law schools, and faculties of higher education institutions. The first round of these votes failed yesterday, June 12th, because the UNM's refusal to participate due to their not being consulted in the selection process. The candidates must receive two-thirds majority vote, which is not possible without bipartisan support. Second round of voting will be held tomorrow on Friday. T.I. had recommended David Kereselidze, Georgi Georgadze, and Zura Zlierishvili in Parliament. All of them failed. Our impression was that Otsneva had its list ready. Chairman of Parliament's Committee on Foreign Relations, Tito Japaridze, asked that another candidate be put forward to the post of ambassador to Great Britain. His nomination has been held up by Misha, who refuses to sign the appointment. Japaridze explained his reasoning, quote, "I do not want to be part of this whimsical, senseless political game because I think it harms Georgia's foreign policy and the Georgian diplomatic corps," end quote. And Tito Japaridze has got a lot of friends, certainly in Washington, where he was ambassador under Shevardnadze for a long time and a lot of other places, and it's really goofy that Misha is holding that up. I mean, he'd be a good ambassador, and I don't know. You know, it's just obstructionism in my view. Anyway, on the 11th of June, the mayor of Batumi, Cemal Ananidze, submitted his resignation. Ananidze was appointed to his post on the 4th of October 2012. Since 2010, Ananidze was vice mayor of Batumi, while from August 29th to 4th, he was acting mayor. The Minister of Regional Development and Infrastructure, Dato Nadmania, said that up to 80 million lari will be spent on supporting IDPs. 7 5-story residential buildings will be built in Zudidi to accommodate 280 IDP families. The project is funded by the German Bank for Reconstruction. On the 11th of June, during a meeting with journalists, Foreign Minister Maya Panjakidze was asked to comment on the editorial letter, the editorial in the Washington Post, which criticized the current Georgian government. Panjakidze said, quote, "I want to express my concern, astonishment, and indignation that such newspapers as the Washington Post, the New York Times, and other internationally renowned important newspapers, which are often referred to as influential papers in our press, very often publish unverified and offending information about this or that country. My concern and interest is Georgia, first of all. As an example, the foreign minister quoted an article in the New York Times about Georgian troops participating in the ISAF mission in Afghanistan. She branded the article as appalling and immoral for being published at times of mourning over the death of Georgian soldiers in Afghanistan. She questioned the reliability and sources of the article, adding that she had always heard praise for the Georgian military and the allegations that they were not respected in Afghanistan are based on suspicious sources. Interior Minister Irakli Karabashvili also commented on the editorial and said, quote, "For a person with a lot of money and good lobbyists, it is very easy to publish disinformation even in such newspapers as the Washington Post or the New York Times. I say bluntly that the letter was the editorial board in the Washington, the letter of the editorial board in the Washington Post has been commissioned and is wildly out of touch with reality." Okay, this is getting all very annoying here. All right, first of all, lobbyists cannot plant stuff on the editorial board of the Washington Post. All right, Giga Bokeria and his lobbyists did not commission this. It was written probably by Jackson Deal of the Washington Post, who actually visited Georgia right before the elections, and this is what he thinks. Now, in my view, what he said, which was that that Georgia's like Ukraine and that all of these arrests are politically motivated and Georgia's not going to get in the EU and be close to NATO because of all of these politically motivated arrests, he's not so familiar with Georgia and what's going on. And really, I think it is, I don't know about biased, but it's inaccurate. There was a pretty good response by Teotsu Lukiani saying the important thing is the rule of law. And I think clearly whoever wrote the thing is not so clued into what's going on in Georgia. But everybody's saying that this is done by lobbyists and that they're biased is silly. What they should do is just respond to the content of the thing. And other than Tsoulukiani, I don't know that anybody really did that. But telling the editorial board that they're biased and wrong is not helping matters. Kazakh management will return to manage the Tbilisi gas distributor, Kaztrans Gas Tbilisi. The decision was made by an intergovernmental Georgian-Kazakh commission in Astana. As a reminder, because of its debts of over 80 million lari, a special manager took over management from its Kazakh owners in March 2009. The company still has 75 million lari in debts. Energy Minister Kakhi Kaladze said that it was BI's decision. The Australian magazine Business Insider published ratings of 10 billionaires in the world. The Georgian Prime Minister is in fourth place. According to the magazine, Ivanishvili is owner of an art collection worth of $1 billion. According to the magazine, in 2006, he purchased Dora Maar with Cat by Pablo Picasso for $95 million, at the time the most expensive price ever paid for art at auction. Geostat reported that the number of people employed in the business sector has increased by 16,000 in the first quarter of 2013 compared to the same period in 2012, but the number has decreased by 42,000 compared to the fourth quarter of 2012. According to Geostat, the top field of employment is trade, with more than 60% of those employed being in Tbilisi. The average monthly salary in the business sector is 717 lari for men, 529 lari for women. On the 9th of June, newpost.ge published an article without a clear source of origin claiming the education minister and presidential hopeful Georgi Margvelashvili and various expertebi support the return of the Russian language to schools in Georgia. According to the article, Russian journalists also wrote Rama Sakhvarelidze's words that, quote, people want the Russian language, end quote. iReporter.ge reports that representatives of the school administration in public schools number 23 and number 20 in Tbilisi spread paper cards with icons on them. These were sold to children for 30 tetri, and then those who bought them had their names written down for the patriarch to pray for them. They gave instructions to children to fill out the cards and always carry them with them. The director said that the cards were sent from the patriarch and were distributed in schools on the order of the Ministry of Education. On the 10th of June, traders closed Rustaveli Avenue in front of Kutaisi City Hall and demanded that they abolish street traders. Protesters argue that they have to pay taxes while the street traders pay nothing. Georgian Dream chairperson Mamuka Gvedladze met with the protesters and promised to solve their problems. Last Friday, an anti-NATO rally was held in Tbilisi. The rally participants expressed their condolences to the families of soldiers killed in Afghanistan, but protested Georgia's participation in the effort there. Member of UNN Koba Khabazi stated that activists in the movement Free Zone were arrested by police officers because they swore at Vladimir Putin. According to Khabazi, Parnavaz Chikadua and David Gogochia were protesting Russia's policy in front of the building in Tbilisi where BI was attending a Congress of the Social Democrats. The government approved a list of countries with a preferential or offshore regime of taxation, making the old list from 2010 null and void. The new list includes 66 countries compared to the old list's 79. The new list does not include Argentina, Bahrain, Brazil, European countries, Malta, Singapore, South Korea, and the UAE. Instead, it includes Brunei, Curacao, Fiji, French Polynesia, Liberia, the Maldives, Mariana Islands, Oman, Puerto Rico, the Solomon Islands, Tuvalu, and the Virgin Islands. This is Government Decree number 132, issued on the 30th of May, signed by BI personally. It abolishes a previous decree issued in 2010. This sounds, frankly, quite interesting. We will try to follow up and see what we can figure out for next week. If there are any bankers out there listening that have any idea what this is all about, please let us know. That is Decree number 132, Government Decree number 132, signed on May 30th. Dato Tsinaridze, the head of the Department of the Patrol Police, told the newspaper Alia that fines for crossing the center line of roads will be reduced from 100 to 50 lari. Repeat offenders will be fined 100 lari instead of 200 lari. This is a stupid step. Why would they reduce fines like this when this is such a problem, especially when there's a bunch of cars lined up at a red light and then people come from behind into the oncoming traffic in order to cut ahead of them, which is just the most appallingly selfish move in a car imaginable. Frankly, one that I've never seen anywhere but Tbilisi. Tbilisi Minibus is offering a new on-call service to customers which will allow you to hire minibuses. Customers can use the new service across Georgia in any direction. Fees for minibus hiring will be set individually depending on the route and duration. The Global Environment Fund program of small grants in Georgia has started accepting grants pertaining to biodiversity, climate change, transboundary water, soil degradation, and waste. The Ministry of Environment stated that NGOs, public unions, civil public organizations, and communities are beneficiaries of the small grants. Each organization is free to submit one or two projects in either English or Georgian for up to $50,000 grants for no more than 2 years in length. The deadline is the 12th of July, 2013. For more information, check www.undp.org.ge and tell them you found out about it from tpeelpod.com. Levon Davidashvili, chairman of the Georgian National Wine Agency, stated that the first lot of Georgian wine intended for export to Russia has received the required certificates. He said that Georgian wine exported to Russia will be in the middle-upper price range and will appear on shelves in Russia within 2 weeks. The National Parliamentary Library of Georgia recently started putting up high-quality electronic versions of old Soviet posters. You can browse them by date and download. There are some really great ones. We'll put the link in the forum, but take a look at these. You can download them and have print shops print them full size, and it's really a great effort by the Parliamentary Library. Parliamentary Committee on European Integration supported Kacha Imnadze and Levan Dolidze as candidates to ambassadorial posts in UN and NATO, respectively. Kacha Imnadze served as spokesman of former President Edward Shevardnadze. Levan Dolidze has been serving as Deputy Defense Minister since late October, and if I'm not mistaken, is Vika Dolidze's brother. On the 11th of June, a pipe was damaged and a portion of the ceiling fell on the ground floor of Parliament. The persistent problems with that quickly put together building is upsetting and may prevent its being used for anything after the Parliament moves back to Tbilisi. Some changes were introduced to the Code on Product Safety and Free Flow. According to the proposed amendments, people who violate the construction code in Tbilisi will be exempted from the imposed fines. That's horrible. The amendments foresee a temporary 6-month mechanism that frees people who carried out or are carrying out construction work on buildings when a construction permit has expired. A few things to read. The famous Dr. Hans Goodbrot's blog post, Correcting Unemployment Numbers, a Call for Government Action, about unemployment figures and the statistics and what those are. It's quite interesting. That's on ICET's blog. Article by Robert Linkos, quote, opening doors, hearts, and crosswalks to visitors, end quote, about pedestrians and street crossing in Tbilisi on georgiatoday.ge. Article by Yasmin Wali in with the title, quote, Egyptian emigration to Georgia, colon, promised land or fool's paradise, question mark, end quote. Egyptians are immigrating to Georgia. Interesting that this is being covered in Egypt. There's certainly a lot of Egyptians around, although I'm not sure if most of them are Christian. All of these things are posted on our forum if you want to check the links. This week's GeoCapital number is 34%, which is gross fixed investment as a percentage of GDP in Georgia, according to the 2012 estimates in the CIA World Factbook. This means that of Georgia's GDP, 34% comes from businesses buying fixed assets, which are things like machines, new buildings, factories, computers, vehicles, and other types of equipment. Just to refresh your memory, GDP consists of consumption, investment, government spending, and net exports. Of Georgia's neighbors, only Armenia invests more in fixed assets. That's 37%. Turkey is at 22%. Russia at 20%. Azerbaijan at 20%. The list is topped by Sao Tome and Principe with 50% and China with 48%. The United States is quite low at 13% compared to 20% in France, 18% in Germany, 14% in the UK, and a paltry 4% in Libya. This week's English language movie at Rustavelli Movie Theater across from Parliament is on Saturday, the 15th of June, Hangover 3 at 6:05 p.m. Tickets are 10 lari and 50 tetri. Colgo movies this week, which are Le Grand Soir, which is 2012, and Bel Antonio on Sunday. Le Grand Soir is on Saturday. Sunday, June 16th, is Bel Antonio, which is from 1960. All movies start at 6 o'clock at Dom Kino across from Rustavelli Metro and McDonald's. Tickets are 7 lari. Whoa, no, tickets are 1 lari. Colga has changed his ticket price from 8 to 1 lari in the start of their films from 8 until 6 p.m. Works in Progress series lineup as follows. June 19th, they're always on Wednesdays. Henry Hale from George Washington University will give a talk entitled Constitutional Design and Democracy, Georgia in Comparative Perspective. June 26th, Ziad Diasamidze and Dustin Galbraith from Tbilisi State University will give a talk entitled The Reproduction of Radical Transitions in Georgia Since Independence. July 3rd, John Graham from Princeton University and Wesleyan University, I might add, will give a talk on The Last Master, Orthodoxy and the Oral Chant Tradition. On July 10th, Paul Crego from the U.S. Library of Congress will speak on political and theological aspects of the 17th of May events. All talks are free and open to the public. Take place at 6:15 in ISET CRC, Georgia, which is at Zandukeli 16, right close to McDonald's and Rustavelli Valley Metro. Radharami will be holding a book presentation on Saturday, the 15th of June, at the bookstore Book City, about their newest book, How Soccer Explains the World, by Franklin Foyer, which has been translated into Georgian. Presentation starts at 7 p.m., finishes at 9, which is at Melikashvili number 21. If you are in Portland, Oregon, and looking for some great Georgian food, go to Karigigogo, New Georgian Food Cart Pod. They sell badrijani, lobiani, khingali, khajapuri, and more. Tell your Portland, Oregon friends all about it. Go to karigigogo.com or look up at KarigigogoPDX on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Karigigogo gear, t-shirts, baby onesies, still don't know what baby onesies are, and tote bags are now for sale on their webpage. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is at Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with 1956, the Coasters' first big hit, Down in Mexico.